Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you doing?
Doing great, thank you. Yourself?
Good. It's a beautiful day here.
It is.
Beautiful day in California.
Yeah.
Not that I want to rub it in, people on the East Coast and in the middle of the country.
Are they not having good weather?
Well, I don't know. Perhaps they will call us and let us know.
That's right, because they could be actually where the good weather is. And, you know, in that short-sighted way that we can often do or be or whatever would follow that, we assume that where we are is the center of the entire universe, and therefore it's better or worse than anywhere else. And, in fact, that might not be true.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And actually, I'm getting word here that we might get a weather report from across the pond.
Lovely!
Yeah. I'd like to welcome Anna from England. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey, Anna.
Hello. Hi.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Good. What's going on?
I'm calling to report.
Oh, very good.
To report back.
You've had an assignment.
Yes. I don't know whether you remember. It was to do with art and painting and finding it difficult to stop painting and getting grumpy with my family.
Uh-huh. Because you're what you should be doing with your life, what you want to be doing with your life, and what you are doing with your life sometimes don't exactly line up.
That's it, yeah.
That's the story, and then of course, you know, we're conditioned to believe that things have to be somebody's fault, right?
Mm.
No?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we do. Yeah. So what have you, what's been happening with that?
There were a couple of things that you said that were just brilliant. And the first one that you said that's been really helpful was that it was sort of a bit like being obsessed.
Uh-huh.
Whether you remember. And that just fitted perfectly. I could just see that straight away, really. So what's been happening since then is, whenever it's sort of been time to finish painting, although that bit might be a little bit difficult, but I'm certainly not at all being grumpy with anybody at all. And it's sort of a really light and easy feeling.
Uh-huh. So is what you mean that there you are, you're doing your painting, and then it's time to stop?
Yes.
And you're good that you did that thing that you wanted to do, and now there's this other thing, and this is what you're going to do now, and you just make the transition.
Yeah.
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 Isn't that good?
Yeah. So I was thinking, I just sort of needed to hear that from a person, say, that I trusted, that information. So then I was thinking, well, I suppose the thing is to get that information from myself.
Uh-huh.
So that I can trust myself, so that I can be somebody that I can trust myself and give myself information.
Yes, which you can do when you're trustworthy.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So in the way we talk about it, of course, when you're centered, you're absolutely trustworthy. You have available to you to guide you in your life all of the wisdom that exists in the universe.
Yes.
And when you're identified, when you're caught up in conditioning, then you are a scary person. And And we wouldn't want anybody to follow you around, right? Especially the very small children who are usually, because we all have those small children in us, and they're usually the ones who are most victimized by that karmic conditioning. Yeah. So that's, I mean, it seems to me, that's the name of the awareness practice or spiritual practice or religious or whatever, however we want to talk about it, that's the name of that game, is who are you listening to?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you at center and so you're being guided by your heart, by your authentic nature, or are you out there in karma land being dragged around by ego through... I just had this image of something like a Disney World, you know, it's one of those theme parks, and there's ego dragging us around to these horror exhibits, it's not fun, it's not pleasant for us or for anybody else.
That's all exactly it. That just that one conversation with you has just set up all of those, and especially the thing about there being lots of very young people, I've realized that a lot of the time there's a whole load of young people that are in me, living my life for me, and there are a whole lot of adults around to sort of help me in my life.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I forgot to mention in the excitement of when I rang last time is that I'm doing the year-long email class.
Uh-huh.
So that's been absolutely fantastic as well.
It is a big support, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Because I think for all of us, the hardest part of trying to wake up and in suffering is remembering.
Yeah.
It's remembering. We get so caught up believing conditioning, and we just completely lose sight of what we know to be true for ourselves.
Yeah.
Now, so when we kind of stick together in that way and work on it together every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really increases our chances to stay conscious.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
That's great. That's great. Well, thank you for the report. Oh, and we forgot to find out, how's the weather there?
It's actually very dark at the moment.
And it's actually
raining
now.
Night. It's 1:10 in the morning here.
You are a brave soul.
but it is warm, and it has been a beautiful day. It's been really lovely over here.
Good, good.
It's been really sunny.
Wonderful, wonderful. And thank you for staying up into the middle of the night to have this time with us.
Oh, well, it's just wonderful to talk to you. It's
right.
Worth it.
Take good care of yourself.
I will do.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you to Michael, too.
You're very welcome. Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. It's always fun to hear from somebody far away, isn't it?
Yes. Well, last week we had all those folks calling from Africa.
Yes.
And now we've got Great Britain.
Yes.
And... yeah, this is very good.
Yeah, we got most of the hour left, so who knows who else we'll hear from.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The phone number, toll-free, in the U.S. and Canada is 877-514-7300. The phone lines are open here, and if you're calling like Anna from abroad, that's 001, that's the country code for the U.S., 858-277-1444. Again, that's 858-277-1444. Phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you, so give us a call. Sherry, it occurred to me that we are still accepting late signups for the wonderful email class that Anna mentioned.
Yeah, and people are actually joining it regularly, so it's fun. Sometimes the voices of conditioning will say, oh, they're 5 months into this class. You know, I'm going to be so far behind, I would just never catch up. And that's not true because, of course, there isn't any catching up. We're always where we are. Yeah. And, you know, we could, it's like, you know, I can't start reading now. There are just way too many books to read. And, of course, you know, that kind of logic just isn't gonna hold up. So,
yes.
Yeah, people are joining and, you know, going back over the previous information at their own pace and joining in with us where we are now. And it's a lot of fun. I can't remember if I was saying this to you, but to somebody recently, that spiritual practice truly is the more the merrier,
yeah,
kind of thing. There, it's just the more of us who are practicing together, the better it gets, and it's on a physical level,
yes,
because it's fun to have lots of people together, and it's true on an energetic level,
yes,
that. The support, maybe this person doesn't feel like they have a lot to offer right now, but then somebody else is working on something either side of the continuum. You know, they could be really down and struggling, but looking at it and talking about it. Or there could be somebody who's just had a huge breakthrough about something and is really high and happy and optimistic and those people can kind of carry you along.
Yes.
And then, you know, other people are kind of flagging, and you get a big burst of something. And so it's, we often use that image of, like, the Canada geese.
And they
fly in that big V shape. And,
yes.
You know, when they're strong, they're flying up there in the front. And then as they get tired, they go back to the back and they kind of rest. And they just keep rotating in and out like that. And
yes,
son of a gun, everybody gets there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's great. It's a real sangha experience.
Yeah.
Yes, it occurred to me as you were talking, my experience is sort of getting in that mode of processing, sort of. It's sort of a continuous looking, processing, this is what's coming up. And to me, it's helpful to get through those stuck places when I remember that.
Yes.
Yes.
So if that's what we're doing, you know, most of what goes on in the world at large is the same experience we're describing, but it's on the leading toward unconsciousness side of the continuum.
Yes.
So the conversation is about what's wrong and how awful it is and what this group of bad people are doing and, you know, just a conversation for suffering,
yes,
focusing on everything that takes us to that suffering place. And so if we choose to live in a conversation for leading away from suffering, it's just a matter of turning our attention to that, and that's the experience that we have. As you're saying, if I'm talking about this is what's going on with me, this is what I'm seeing, this is what the voices are saying, that whole conversation is a way of disidentifying, of not staying stuck inside my head where the voices can convince me that something that is not true is true. If I have a habit of saying it out loud, then I'm automatically stepped back from what the voices are saying or what the conditioning is putting forth that really isn't true.
Yes.
And it's an important step. It really is. It's very, very difficult to do this work of waking up and ending suffering by ourselves inside our own heads, because so much of what goes on inside our own head is conditioned.
Yes, yes. And I think you were pointing at this in the email class, the sense of the voices don't want me to talk, so now I really need to share what they're telling me.
Yes.
Yes.
Anytime we're getting information, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't let anybody know that. No, you can't. That's the thing that we have to come forward,
yes,
with. We have to, or otherwise we're living with a blackmailer.
Yes.
And you know, if you say something about that, then blah blah blah. something awful is going to happen to you, then they're going to hate you, then they're going to know. We can't live in that kind of an environment, because every time we pay off the blackmailer, we're just guaranteeing that we're going to be blackmailed again.
Yeah.
So that's always fascinated me about blackmail. I think, it would just be better just take an ad out in the paper for whatever it is and get it over with, and then you don't have to live under that threat.
Yeah.
So, and especially since, as we know, we're all exactly alike. So, whatever the voices in your head are saying, they either are saying in mine, or they have said in mine, or they will say in mine.
Yeah.
It's like that jag that I was on recently about four-letter words, and just wondering what's going to happen to us when all the worst of the four-letter words are something that, they say on the kitty. What's going to happen to us? What's going to replace that in our culture?
Yes.
And the same thing, if the voices of self-hatred were just brought right out in front, and everybody knows that that's what's happening inside, wouldn't that make a profound change in our relationship with ourselves and with one another?
Yes.
I think it would.
Yes, absolutely. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We have a couple callers, which we're going to take right after this break. So we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, the phone lines are ringing here.
This is a good thing.
This is a good thing for a call-in talk show.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to welcome Rebecca from Austin. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
Excellent.
Okay, good. I thought I was behind someone else, so it's my turn now. Okay, good. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
All right. I was looking at something you said just a minute ago before the break about that we usually project there's something wrong with this group of people or that group. And my projection immediately went to politics. That the group of people that's wrong are the legislators or the politicians.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been really worked since it's a large part of my life is working in I live in the state capital and I do a lot with the political world. And so I'm looking at how to do politics with compassionate awareness.
Woo!
I know. It seems huge, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Yeah, because I think one of the, I don't know if this is your experience, but it seems that politics just tends to put folks in that kind of me first place.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly an agonistic or even antagonistic kind of way where there are going to be winners and there are going to be losers.
Uh huh. And it is definitely not a we situation.
Right, but I'm not at all convinced that that's the way it has to be.
No, I am not either.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Well, and that's the good news.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In fact, I spend a lot of time talking about this subject with my grandson, and he is a history buff.
Uh-huh.
So he talks a lot about the way this country was originally set up. And sort of the ideas behind the formation of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it really is true that a few years ago, a couple of hundred maybe,
mm-hmm.
There was a, there was more respect.
Mm-hmm.
There was a more developed sense of the importance of the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
It seems. Now, who knows? I wasn't there. But it seems that there used to be more of that perspective.
Well, this idea that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And so what I've learned from my practice and my, you know, just being at the monastery and on retreats and things that I've worked with you with is that there is such a thing as what is best for all.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't mean compromising, giving up, and settling. It means being willing to stay in relationship and stay in it long enough to realize and figure it out or let it emerge what is really best for all.
Yes.
And I think that
which almost never has to do with content.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And which often requires, in this case, you to be the one interested in that.
Well, okay, say that again.
Well, that it, because of the way things have evolved,
mm-hmm.
that position of listening and remaining open and inclusive and mm-hmm. and attempting to find that place that's most compassionate for all is not going to be a position that people are fighting to get.
Right, right.
And I think that that's part of what makes it so difficult and so threatening. So you and I are in a situation, and only one of us, you know, we're positioned such that only one of us is going to win this.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I take that place of there must be a place that's most compassionate for all, the tendency is for you to see that as your victory and my defeat.
Yeah, yeah.
So you, it's good to have someone like Gandhi as your role model.
Mm-hmm. Well, and somebody like your kind of your compassionate mentor as your guide.
Yes.
And
because, because it has to be someone with a very broad perspective.
Mhm.
Yeah. It can't be just this little situation here, the two of us disagreeing about that. If that's our reality, then it's going to go along the way it is. It requires somebody who can see that this is emblematic of something much, much, much larger.
Well, and I wonder if it also requires, well, and I don't know. This is where I get stuck when I'm thinking about this, is does it also require somebody who is got some power in the system already? Because, as long as I'm waiting for, the governor to get to this place or, then this mindset that you're describing or this way of being, then I'm kind of off the hook.
Oh.
You know.
Oh, yes.
As some little Joe Blow citizen here,
That's right. That's right. And so what can you do?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the $64,000 question.
Well, and of course, if what we suspect is true, if the quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention,
mm-hmm.
and combine that with you are working out your own salvation diligently, then what you can do is huge.
Mm.
And especially, it is huge for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because no one else is going to work out your own salvation diligently for you. So if you are living the life that you feel is important and valuable, the life that's important and valuable to you, that's going to make a big difference in your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you are spending your life wishing other people were different and waiting for them to change things so that your life will be the way you want it to be, I'm afraid it's going to be a big disappointment.
Well, last week when you were talking about just really wanting those children to have food in their bellies, not that there's anything, you're not coming from a place where there's anything wrong or anything like that, but that was just something that your heart wanted, I think, was kind of, that was my projection on what you were saying anyway.
Yep.
I remember, I mean, I thought at the time, I thought that's the way I feel about public education, public schools, is that there's so much that I would just like to see. You know, not that the system is, you know, not that there's anything wrong. There's just other things that I would like for my children to have, you know. And so what would be so much fun, I think, is to find people who are practicing this compassionate awareness and to begin to look at those things together.
Yes.
Doesn't that sound fun?
Yes, it definitely sounds fun to me. And when you were talking, that's the picture that was emerging in my mind, is to be able to do everything you can do to bring to the school system what you see as the potential for the school system.
Yeah.
And to be doing that as an expression of the loving kindness that you want to have for your children.
Yeah, yeah.
So that every step along the way, you are living what you want to have when the results of the work that you're doing are completed.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed about the living of that living compassion that is so beautiful, is that it really is every step of the way, from every letter that is sent out to every, you know, everything. It is already practicing every moment compassion, living compassion.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if we lose our focus in this moment because there's another more important moment,
mm-hmm.
that then we're lost. We really are, because in truth, those children may never be fed.
Yeah.
The school system may never be different.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians may never give us what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And so all we have in this is what we are and what we do.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a moment-by-moment operation.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, gathering those people together and making an exercise of loving our children, loving our community, loving one another, being a loving presence, a conscious presence in the world. If the schools are never different in any way, you will have made a tremendous contribution to the world.
Yeah, and it's like we say with the Peace Center, not being against anything, not even being against war.
Correct.
Yeah.
Just living the peace.
Yeah.
Living the difference that we want to have, of course, in our children's lives and in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. This gives me a chance to talk about my two favorite subjects, politics and practice.
And, you know, I do think that they should be combined whenever possible.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Sherry.
I'll vote for you.
Thanks. No, I don't want to be in that role.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, the phones are stacked up here, so we might as well jump in.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Celia from Seattle. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Evening.
I'm calling to talk to you about something that is a really, really big issue in my inner life. And are you hearing me?
Yes.
Okay. And which is that I have constant thoughts in my mind that I should leave my husband.
Uh-huh.
And I've been working with this a long time and looking at it from different perspectives as which sub is doing it. And
May I ask you something? Now, do you also, because you're looking at it in terms of aspects of the personality, do you also have people inside who say, oh, no, you should stay with him?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you've got a kind of a tug-of-war going.
Yeah, but to tell you the truth, until you said that, I hadn't been thinking about the other side so much.
Right. Well, that is what we tend to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like if I have an eating problem, then I when I'm with the eating team, I rarely am concerned about the people over there who are going to have to carry around the weight that I'm getting ready to consume. Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when I'm on the other side and I'm identified with the I hate being fat team, I have no interest or patience for the person who wants to eat.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is how, of course, how we keep this whole thing going, right? Because it's the world of duality, and there's that teeter-totter. One side is up and the other side is down, and it just keeps going that way.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So
what you've been most aware of is the, I got to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I got to get rid of him. Maybe I don't have to leave, but I have to get rid of him.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if I live a certain way, he'll want to leave.
Oh, yeah. You could probably make it unpleasant enough that he would want to leave.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, he's sitting right here in the room with me right now, listening.
So he definitely knows these aspects of your personality.
He does.
Uh-huh.
We've been through this in our 25-year marriage.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I have left him, and I have told him I was going to leave him at other times and then didn't.
Uh-huh.
And we've raised children, and we have a wonderful life, and I'm still caught in this.
Uh-huh. So this is just what you do.
Yes.
Isn't that refreshing? the difficulty is, there are parts of you who still take it seriously.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And that really is kind of it, isn't it? Because if you could just say, oh, that's just something I do. You know, it's like, well, you know, sometimes I have insomnia. Or
yeah.
I get on these eating jags. Or, you know, sometimes I just read nothing but mysteries. It's just something I do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna change my life over this. It's just an aspect of the personality comes up. I go on that jag for a while, and then I get over it. But somebody thinks they need to take this seriously.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I'm stuck.
Uh-huh. Because the person is here who believes this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now, what does she get out of this? What's the payoff for putting everybody through this?
I don't know. What I've thought is that she's this little girl who believed that her dad didn't like her, and that so she had to leave her dad, and so she keeps thinking she has to leave her husband because she decided that she had to leave her dad when she was young, and
so
it's hung up in it all the time.
Yeah, so it's you're conscious that you're just replicating a childhood program.
Yeah,
yeah. Now you know what you know. It sounds like you're very familiar with this.
Yeah,
and you've watched it and. You've probably written about it in your journal, and you—I mean, 25 years for God's sake. You know this inside and out.
Yeah.
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 Okay. You know the Buddhist approach to it.
Tell me.
Get over it.
Oh. Just like that.
Just like that. Just exactly like that. Just exactly like that. And it's You know, if you're an alcoholic and you've got cirrhosis of the liver,
yeah.
Okay, then it's not a, well, you know, I really need to cut back on my drinking or, you know, I need to look into a program. The answer is stop it. Stop it. Pour it all down the drain. Don't buy any more. Don't drink any of it no matter what. And that's just it. So what we're dealing with is simply karma. And as long as karma can run the same number on us and get us to respond in the same way, which is a place of suffering, is this correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Then it's going to take you to that place over and over and over and over. And after a while, the answer is just say no. No, I'm not going there. I'm not entertaining those thoughts. I'm not indulging that. In fact, I am not going to leave this marriage. I'm not. That's the end of that conversation.
Aha. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's making a commitment, and there is tremendous relief and tremendous energy in making a commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not indulging that karma anymore. It causes me suffering, causes my husband suffering, causes my family, causes everybody out, the ripples out into the, it's causing suffering throughout the universe. Stop it. Time to quit.
Okay.
All right.
Wow.
Now you can, Anna reported to us earlier. Now, you know, we'll be looking for a report on this one, because I can promise you that everybody listening to this show, everybody involved in this show has something that is like that. And it's not that I'm saying cut things off before their time. You know, it's mm-hmm. not stuffing anything or denying anything. Mm-hmm. It's when we get to that point, I know this inside and out. I know everything about it. I have looked at it. I have worked with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to put it down.
Oh, boy. That's great.
Good.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Stay in touch, huh?
I will.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. You're very welcome. Thanks for joining us, Celia. You're listening to another fabulous edition of Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right with you after a few minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have another caller.
Excellent.
I'd like to welcome Vanessa from Sebastopol. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Sherry. Well, the last call was really, really good for me because I'm kind of dealing with similar things.
Uh-huh.
I don't necessarily want to leave my husband, but when I have anger, I direct it all at him.
Mm.
And so I've been sitting with it. I've been listening to your CDs. They're wonderful. And I'm still really stuck.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's so nice.
He's a nice guy, and he lets you vent all over him.
Sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I try not to.
Right.
Right.
Right, because you're a nice person, too.
Yeah.
So now... is what happens, so you're angry, stuff happens during the day, whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
And then do you come home and just start yelling at him about some unrelated thing?
No, when I look at it, what it seems to be is that I'm feeling resentful because I feel like I have to take care of all these things. So
uh-huh.
I looked at it more. It's like the little kid that doesn't want to take care of the little things. I'm trying to find the older person that can take care of these things, and she doesn't want to take care of them either. So then I go, well, do they really need to be taken care of? And some other voice, you know, the voice you're not supposed to listen to, says...
the unhelpful
you
voice.
You have to take care of it, otherwise the world will fall apart kind of thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
So,
now, is this stuff like the laundry and the shopping and the...
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The
yeah.
standard...
Yeah.
the standard living together issues. Who's
yeah.
going to clean this and who's going to take care of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it all falls on you.
Yeah.
And so the pattern that you've got set up in your relationship is, let's see if this rings true.
Yeah.
The price he pays for having you do all of this stuff is that you yell at him.
I don't yell, but I'm not present. I'm not warm. So, yeah, that's the test.
So he gets his laundry done and his meals cooked and his house cleaned, and you bad vibe him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And are you good communicators? Does he know that that's what's going on?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that's still the choice that he makes.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a rough place, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because then what you're left with is you don't clean, you don't cook, you don't do all of these things, right?
Right.
In the hopes that maybe he'll decide that these things are important to him.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, you are living in an increasingly unpleasant environment.
Right.
And getting hungrier and hungrier.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And if you take it on and do all of these things, then, the ideal, and I'm not saying that this is truly the ideal, but what we idealize is you getting to a centered enough place that you will be willing to do all of that stuff without resentment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I imagine he's waiting for that, too.
Yeah.
He's encouraging you to get centered enough. And so where does this leave you?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Will he go to therapy with you?
Possibly, yeah.
Uh-huh. And have you thought about that?
Yeah.
What stops you?
Well, that stigma that would be for people with really bad problems.
Uh-huh.
Or that we're in serious trouble and that kind of thing.
One of the best things that I ever observed in terms of relationship, I used to see people individually years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a call from this guy who wanted to make an appointment to come and see me. And he said, I've started a new relationship. And I really like her, and I really want this to work. And so I've asked her if we can start working on the relationship right now, and she's agreed.
Mm-hmm.
This is like their third date.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, of course, that's the key right there. Yeah, and I think that the reason that there is all of that stigma is because if it were all right for people to be working on themselves and working on their relationship,
mm-hmm.
Bringing conscious awareness to it, we would be successful and we would be happy.
Yeah.
And conditioned mind is not interested in that.
Yeah.
So I would just encourage you that you might, drive to the nearest town or something. And the folks that I'm most enthusiastic about for relationship are the Imago therapists.
Okay.
Do you know Imago work?
Uh-uh.
It's Harville Hendricks, Imago, and it's very much like the Zen practice that we do. It's a process of learning to listen to one another, do reflective listening, and that sort of process until you really are able to hear what's going on with the other person.
Yeah.
And what we always get to with that, when we really get to the bottom of what's going on and see how what we're doing is affecting the other person,
yeah.
And this is somebody we love, we realize we really don't want to do that.
Right.
And we stop doing it, a la the previous conversation, because we want to, not because being the way we are makes us a bad person, but we just see the pain that how we're doing something is causing. And that's not what we're going for. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where does that leave you right now?
Well, then I'll have to go talk to him about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to, of course.
Right.
Right, but you might choose to.
Right.
Yeah, and then that's going to take you to the next interesting place, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so with all of this, of course, and it sounds like you're onto it, you know, what you're doing is watching really carefully and closely what arises in you at each of these steps, because that's what's going to reveal to you what your conditioning is
doing to try to keep you stuck in a suffering place.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
All right, let us know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Vanessa. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, what a fabulous show.
Yeah, well, they're great people, huh?
They are great people. I've just loved sitting here listening to all of it.
Great people and a great practice.
A great practice,
mm-hmm.
And a great privilege.
Yes, hey, to be a part of all of this. Yes.
To be a part of all this.
Yep.
To be with people who are so open and courageous and sharing.
Mm-hmm.
It's inspiring. Let's do it again next week.
I'm up for it.
Okay.
And plus, you know, we have these people that we might hear from, and who knows who else out there.
Yeah.
Who's going to report back on homework or just find the courage to say, okay, well, I want to join that conversation.
Absolutely.
Good. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Sherry. Talk to you next week.
Night.
Goodbye.